Thank you for listening to the official podcast of Live Church Orlando, where we encourage you to live your life His way. For more information about Live Church and other resources, please visit livechurchorlando.com.
This week it's personal. Well, this one is it's personal. It's personal. We're talking about the Godhead. I'm not going to be too long, so y'all can catch at least the end of the game. You see a team either win or lose. I don't know how it's going to go. I'm just praying for you. We have a 13-year-old commentator in here. He's very confident in the Warriors. Tonight we're going to talk about it. I would say captivated. I'm not going to say confused. I'm going to say captivated by the Godhead, the Trinity. You could, and mostly because we cannot fully explain it. Not we, but pastors, leaders, theologians, scholars. It's kind of hard to fully grasp anything kingdom, actually. If you realize it, Jesus never described the kingdom. He always defined it. Think about it. He never described, and the reason why is because it's personal, but you can never really describe the kingdom. He said, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto. So he couldn't define it. I'm sorry. He could just describe it, not really define it. He didn't say, the kingdom is this. You drink holy water 3 times a day and then fast, and then you got it. Because for everybody, it's something different. For you, rich man, sell all you have and give to the poor. For you, Nicodemus, come down and I'm going to your house. For you, go and sin no more. For you, for everybody, it's something different. Somebody say it's personal. So trying to understand the Godhead is kind of confusing, but I already jumped to where I'm going tonight, so I'll just stay on that vein. I'll try to explain the Trinity and all that Sunday. But the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, being saved is personal. It's kind of like I said it before at Live in a Bible study. It's kind of like marriage. Now, when you get saved, the Bible calls us now the bride of Christ. We are now the bride of Christ. Fellas, you don't lose your masculinity, but in theory, we are the bride of Christ. In other words, the man covers the woman. Don't start with me. We're gonna wait for the marriage series for that. But are y'all hearing what I'm saying? In other words, you see the whole family through the head. You see my wife through me, and vice versa sometimes. You know what I mean? So the head of the marriage is the man. So Jesus covers us the same way. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? All right. So we are now the bride of Christ. So in marriage, every marriage is different. When we start marriage counseling, I don't know if y'all going to like it or not, because it's not going to be like rules. Because you're dealing with different personalities, you're dealing with different histories, different cultures, sometimes different beliefs. You don't know. You shouldn't just say, well, marriage is you wear your ring all the time. Well, I'm not married tonight. And some wives be like, excuse me, are you about to leave your house without your ring? So for your marriage, that might be a no-no. That's your relationship. It's personal. You're not wrong, but don't put that on everybody. And I'm not about to get up here and teach, hey, fellas, if you forget your ring, you good. Just keep going. We're good. My ring is over there to the left, sitting down. That's my ring. You ain't got it. Uh-oh, don't mess with me. Because I've done some crazy things with my ring on. Uh-oh. Now, I ain't going to get me to tell my business tonight. So the ring don't make your marriage sacred. Your heart does. The ring is a symbol. And we make symbols the sacred thing. No. Stop making symbols sacred. I mean, I understand there are sacred symbols. Y'all understand what I'm saying? It's not about that. So when we do these Christian rituals and we pray, all right, well, you don't know what God told me today. Everybody bow your head and close your eyes. I don't want to bow. I'm going to look while I'm praying. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Bless your name, Jesus. Holy, holy are you, Lord. Holy. Where we get bow your head and close your eyes from anyway? The Bible says watch. as well as pray. How we get the opposite and make that like the culture of the church? How we do that? Come on, everybody, let's pray. You better watch. Okay. Jesus didn't say, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he didn't say, can you pray with me for an hour? No, he said, can you watch? I'm about to die. I don't know how this is about to happen. Can you keep your eyes open while I go pray? So let's not put these religious things on holy matrimony. It's between you and God. It's personal. We are not going to stand at the white throne before God as a church. You're not going to stand there as a family. You're not going to stand there as a marriage. You're going to be by yourself like, hi, God. How you doing? Did I do okay down there? By yourself. I'm about to get into it so good right now. You are going to stand before God by yourself. No mom, no pastor, no bishop. No, hold on. Let me get my bishop. Hold on, God. Let me get my apostle that was over me, that covered me. Well, no. I was inside of you. What did you do? I feel like running in here already. You ain't going to be able to lean on nobody. So if you're not going to be able to lean on nobody, why do it now? Don't live holy vicariously through somebody else. I feel like running early for some reason tonight. We have a lot of vicarious saints. Like you live through somebody else. No, it's you or it's not. Amen? So it's personal. Everything is very different. That's why it's very challenging to judge anybody. I was talking to a friend earlier this week, and it was like, hey, I got some friends that, you know, they're Christians, but they don't do, like, religious lyrics in their songs. Like, are they going to hell for, I was like, who are you, So if you're saved and you don't do gospel music, you're dishonoring God? I can't say that. What kind of marriage do you and God have? I can't say that, because if I'm saved and I do commercials, Jesus brush your teeth with Crest. No, you can't. It's either Crest or Christ. Woo, it's corny, but y'all laugh, so okay. So you can't judge them. But, all right, if you save, you got to do, you don't know. Tell your neighbor, get out of my marriage. That's the gist of the whole thing I'm talking about tonight. It's personal. Take your mouth, judgmental eyes, hands off of God's people. You don't know how God is dealing with them. For some men, I'll never let my wife go out with the girls, because every time she, all right, that's you, husband. You don't let your wife go out with the girls. She can go wherever she wants. That's my man. Y'all, are you understanding what I'm saying? So if, this is my point. If God told you don't go out, that's not all Christians. That's you. We make laws out of what God tells us personally. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? If I tell my wife, you know what, I don't want you in skirts no more. I don't want you in pants no more. It's too, just wear long skirts, please. She ain't gonna get a praise the Lord live. We gotta all wear skirts because, no, that's what I told my wife. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? So God tells us things personally that we make the law of the new righteous living. People talked about me so badly about this earring that I took it out. I had an earring. You a pastor, you got an earring. You find, oh, where you go to? I go to live. Oh, the church with the pastor with an earring? You go to the church with a pastor with an earring? And you know, live crazy. Yeah. Don't mess with live. We're not a punk church. Okay. Woo, I'm sorry. Live ain't a punk church. I'm sorry. Yeah, the one with the earring. Yes. We working on getting them too. Thank you. Don't mess with it. My pastor got tattoos and piercings. Don't mess with me. He got tattoos and piercings. That's just how it is. You may not be able to get piercings and tattoos because that's your conviction through your marriage with Jesus. Praise the Lord. And sometimes it'll be harsh and restricted in the beginning, and as you grow with God, it's like, oh yeah, you can go ahead, but you can go ahead. You loosen up on certain things as you know. That's it's personal. Are y'all hearing me? So that's why we need the Holy Spirit. That's why we're talking about the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is that voice. It's communicating with you the mind of God and his will for your life. Personally, the Holy Spirit will rarely tell you what the earth needs to know. The Holy Spirit will rarely tell you what your whole family needs to know. Especially if he's still working on you. Why give me a word for my whole block and he not through with me yet? Never mind. Let me just get to the word. All right. Whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these, by the promises, you might be partakers of the divine nature. Listen to that. By these promises. What's up, y'all? By these promises, you are partakers of the divine nature. By the promises, you take part in the divine nature. You become divine by responding to the promises. Because that's when faith is activated, and when you okay, so if he only gives you the promise and not the fulfillment of it, you partake in divine nature. Because I always say it's like a ring, and I don't have it on tonight. But if you get engaged tomorrow, oh my God, he asked me to marry him. Oh my goodness, right? So now, oh my goodness, I can't believe he asked me to marry him. So now you engage. I'm about to be Mrs. Williams. I'm about to be Mrs. Williams. Right? You're excited about that, right? You have a promise, a ring, a promise. You don't have his name yet. You're not married yet, but you have a promise. Most women who get the promise, I mean the ring, changes their whole life. You don't even have a wedding date in your packing at home. Girl, I'm about to be a Williams. You just have boxes for 3 months. I don't know when we get married, but I know we get married. You change. You cut off all male friends. Most women like, I ain't messing with y'all. I ain't going out no more. I ain't trying to. Your selfies get less selfies. Like, you change your whole thing based on a promise. Your whole nature changes, not because of a fulfillment, but because you got a word. I feel like running. Some of us wait to be blessed to change. Others, we only need a word. You ain't got to even, oh my God, it don't have to happen today. It ain't got to happen tomorrow. If I know it's going to happen, I'll change my whole life. I'll change my whole attitude. I'll change my whole posture. Just let me know the plans you have for my life. All I got to know is it's going to happen, and I'll change my whole joint. You feel me? All I got to know is it's going to happen. And my whole life is maneuvered around the ring. Are y'all hearing me? I can't wait to preach Lord of the Rings. Next. Just by the promises, I partake of divine nature. Let's go. So, John 14, verse 16 and 17. All right, the Bible says of the Holy Spirit, I will pray to the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Everybody say comforter. Yeah, that he may be with you forever. It says, whom the world cannot receive, for it beholdeth him not, neither knoweth him. Ye know him, for he abideth with you and shall be in you. So the scriptures is referring to the Holy Ghost here. Jesus is saying, I'm going to ask God to send you the Holy Ghost because I'm about to leave. I'm about to die. I'm about to fulfill my purpose, but I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to pray and ask God to send the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, right? Why did he call him the Comforter? We talked about this Sunday. He could have named the Holy Ghost anything. The Holy Ghost don't have a name. He could have said, I'm going to send you Jesse. I don't know. If I'm Jesus, I don't know. He could have gave the Holy Ghost a name, or he could have gave him another purpose, like the rescuer. I'm going to send the rescuer to snatch you out of all your problems. I'm going to say, no, he said the comforter. That's very important to me. Jesus is very transparent with you. He's not scared. He's not intimidated by the reality of the journey. Jesus is not intimidated by the reality of a Christian journey. You're going to have some bumps, bruises, cuts. It's going to be uncomfortable, but I'm going to send the comforter. Are you hearing me? So every Christian is not void of problems and storms and issues. I thought that for years, man. Like when I get saved, I thought all troubles will be over. But no, I was actually made more of a target. Like it kind of switched up. Like I was kind of like, how many of y'all can attest to that? Like when I was in the world, I kind of had less problems. I had like real friends. I came to church. I've been down so low, it looked like up to me. Now, when I get to church, I got fake friends showing fake love to me, straight up to my face. Tell your neighbor, at least be fake behind my back. Don't do it in front of my face. It was better out there. I said it before. At the club, they share, you want some drink? Give me another round. They share drinks. You want some? They share. You go to the church cookout. They got their name written on their cup. Don't touch it. Sister Gloria. All right. Don't touch Gloria's cup. I need a comforter. It's hard in these streets. And of course, I have 5% on this phone. Okay. It said the Holy Ghost is with you, but it shall be in you. He shall be in you. And I love that. I always say the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon us. The New Testament, Holy Ghost was with us. The Now Testament, the Holy Ghost is in us. I like the Now Testament. Old Testament, Holy Ghost fell upon Samson, came upon Elijah. New Testament, he was with us. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, the anointed one with us. Now the Holy Ghost is in us. For the first time in the history of the universe, the Holy Ghost is in us. Acts 1 verses 5 and 8 says this, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the, somebody say, Holy Ghost. It's charging. Thank you. It's charging. Not many days hence, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in all Samaria and to the othermost parts of the earth. Let me keep it moving. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. I'm sorry. We all right. Y'all listening, right? Thank God faith don't come by seeing. It comes by hearing. Thank you, Jesus. We would definitely be in trouble tonight. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, but it is written, eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of man, the things that God has prepared for you. What God has prepared for you, man can't even imagine it. And I like to, yeah, you can clap on that. That's a good praise point. Man cannot imagine or fathom the things that God has prepared for you. They can't even, I like to think that I have a good imagination, but we can't even imagine the things that God has prepared for us. The next verse says, but, y'all moving fast like you got it. Ha, there it is. Next one. But God has shown us these things. The things that eyes haven't seen, the things that ears haven't heard, the things that it hasn't entered into, the thing that the world is oblivious to, God has shown us. Really? How? I'm glad you asked. Through the Spirit. Somebody say, I need the Holy Ghost. You need the Spirit because the Spirit knows all things, even the deepest secrets, the deep secrets of God. It's like this, the scripture says. Let's keep it moving. It's like this. No one knows the thoughts that another person has. Only a person's spirit that lives in him knows his thoughts. I said it Sunday for all the visitors that are here for the first time. I said it Sunday. How you know your own thoughts. Like, you listening to me now, but you like, is his shirt ripped up? Did he buy it ripped? Or... Did he buy it ripped, or did he try to jump over a fence and not make it? Like, you have thoughts, and that's your mind. You understand what I'm saying? Even though your conscience is paying attention to what I'm saying, you have unconscious thoughts towards the situation. You could be talking to somebody like, "Oh, really? Your kids? Yeah, my kids just came in town." You're like, Oh, you need a piece of gum. You won't say it. But that's your mind. I'm making jokes, but I'm just saying how you can think something differently than your expression. You can think something differently or along the same lines of what you're saying. You can say one thing and think something either different or deeper. There it is. You can say one thing, but think something different or deeper. God will never say anything that he means something different. Most of the time, he means something deeper. Are you hearing me? Take up your cross and follow me. He don't just mean that. He means, yo, you're going to go through suffering. He means, yo, you're going to have to take up some pain. You're going to be humiliated. You're going to be embarrassed. But at the end, he means all of that. But the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit knows the thoughts of God. I would love to know the thoughts of God because I want to know why I'm going through what I'm going through right now. How many of y'all would love to know why you're going through what you're going through? Nobody knows that but God. And nobody knows God's mind but the Holy Ghost. And he'll reveal the mysteries of God unto us. I hope y'all getting what I'm saying. Keep going, because I don't want to keep you too long. He reveals mysteries to us. And we have received God's Spirit. Oh, here we go. Woo! So I said it Sunday, the Holy Ghost is not just power, but he is intellect. He's intellect. He is our intelligence. Are you hearing me? The Holy Ghost is not just power. He is our intelligence. Because I heard Bishop Jake say that the lights are power. Like, you know, like rain is power, you know. But the lights can't think. Electricity cannot think. So the Holy Ghost is deeper than just energy and power. He is God's intellect. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? He can think and reveal to you the things of God. And we have received God's Spirit, not the world spirit. Look at that, please. Not the world spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given unto us. All right, now I want to talk about this for a minute, if you all will allow me. The spirit of this world. The world that he's talking about is not the earth. Y'all got me? Yeah, my heart beating fast because I'm excited. There's a difference between the earth and the world. The world is a conscious. The world is a culture. The world is a thought pattern. The world is a evil way of life. That's the world, this world. When the Bible refers to this world, he's talking about the culture, the flow of it, the thought pattern, the thing that has nothing to do with the kingdom. So he's not talking about the earth. He's talking about the world. Let's talk about what the Bible has to say about this world. And then, because when you understand the world, maybe you can more sense the Holy Ghost. So instead of just teaching on the Holy Ghost, I'm going to teach on what's coming against the Holy Ghost. And if you see yourself flowing in it, you can better recognize the Holy Ghost. Because the things of the world are normal to this world. You understand what I'm saying? We're born in sin. We're born in that normalcy. We're born in that. So it's sometimes challenging to recognize what's the Holy Ghost or what's cool. What's okay or what's the Holy Ghost trying to rescue me from? Are y'all ready to dive into it? All right, let's talk about it just a little bit. Let's go. Jesus is talking about this world. Well, hold on. He said, these words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple. And Jesus is teaching in the temple. And no man laid hands on him. Look at this. For his hour was not yet come. So there were people who always tried to kill Jesus. They always wanted to arrest him. They always wanted to do it. Sometimes the scripture says they couldn't do it because he was popular with the people and they didn't want to be, you know, they didn't want to lose favor with the people. This time they said they almost laid hands on him, but they couldn't actually, for his hour has not yet come. I want you to understand, attacks aren't random. Yeah, I'm ready to get into this. Attacks aren't random. Either we invite them as a consequence. Either we invite attack as consequences. Like if you have sex outside of marriage and you get a disease, that's what we invited. That's not like an attack out the blue, like, oh my Lord, the devil is fighting me. We open the door like, come here, sickness, come on. We invite certain things. Okay, y'all don't like that one. Okay. Yeah, why y'all quiet then? If it's so good, why y'all quiet? I know you thinking. I know you thinking. I know. She said, "We listening." Don't listen. No, I'm just playing. Attacks are never random. Either we invite them through our actions and they're a consequence to it, or our hour has come. Or it's just time. They couldn't touch Jesus because it wasn't time yet. They had a time to arrest him, but this wasn't the time. Understand, if you're attacked and it's not something you did as a consequence, God looked at your situation and said, "It's time. I'll allow you to." It's like Job. I feel like Job. Problems cannot come without permission. Please quote me on that if you post it. Problems cannot come without permission. No attack is random. God says, "Yeah, they can handle that. Let them be." God, yes, you can release that attack. Release that, because he knows you're ready for it. The problem is we don't know we're ready for it. But if God allows it and you know it's not a consequence, that means your time has come. That means it's time to grow. That means it's time to learn. That means it's time to increase. That means it's time to gain knowledge. That means it's time to learn people. That means it's time to learn family. That means it's time to learn yourself. That means it's time. Your hour has come to grow. If you're under attack and it ain't you, scream right now. God said, "Your hour has come. It's time for you to be lifted. It's time for you to go higher. The enemy cannot touch you unless it's his time to elevate you." I'm going to say it on this side. The enemy can't touch you unless it's his time to elevate you. God uses two things to elevate us: prophets and problems. Somebody can speak into your life and you just go to the next level, or a problem can come. I feel like running for no reason. The prophet, I feel like running, but I'm gonna stop because these boots are heavy. The prophet came to David, said, "You're the next king." David got elevated in the midst of his brothers. He got anointed. He got elevated. The prophet elevated David. He was a regular sheep boy until the prophet said, "You're the next king." So the prophet elevated him. A little bit later down the line, there was a giant. There was a giant problem. Thank you for waking up. By the name of Goliath. The first time the prophet elevated me. The second time the problem elevated me. When I took Goliath down, I was... Stop running from Goliath. Stop running from the problem. Take it down and go up. Take it down and go up. Take it down and you go up. Giants fall, we rise. Giants go down, we go higher. Problems go down, we go up. Tell your neighbor, "I'm going up on a Wednesday." Woo. Woo. Take that problem down this week. Take that problem down and go up. That problem ain't here to stop you. God allowed it to elevate you. Take it down and go up. It's your time has come. Your hour has come to grow. That's how God sees your problem. Growth. Yes, it's time for them to grow. It's time for them to grow up. It's time for them to increase. It's time for them to learn people. Betrayal. It's time. Y'all quiet for some reason. It's time for them to learn themselves. Temptation. Oh, your hour has come. It's time for them to gain knowledge. So if an attack comes, it ain't random. It's either me or my time. It's time. So stop running from it. You prolong it. Goliath was there for 40 days just because nobody faced it. I ain't talking about Goliath tonight, though. Let's keep going. All right. He says, so Jesus said again unto them, "I go my way, and you shall," watch this, "you're going to look for me, and you're going to die in your sins, because where I go, you can't come." Whoa. So the Jews said, "Is he about to kill himself?" The next verse. "Will he kill himself? Because he just said, where I go, you can't go." And he said unto them, "You are from beneath." "I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. Y'all quiet for some reason? I just said this world is a thought pattern. I just said this world is our conscious mind. He says you're from beneath because his thoughts are higher. Read your Bible. His thoughts are not different. They're higher. His ways are not alternative. They're higher. Tell somebody his thoughts ain't different. It's higher. I like that. We can have different thoughts all day, but I love when God takes it up on us. We can all have opinions down here all day, but when it comes to God's mind, he takes it up. You're from beneath, world. I'm from above. You're from this world. I'm not of this world. Somebody say, I'm not of this world. I don't think like this world. I don't move like this world. I don't act like this world. I don't behave like this world. I don't respond like this world. My conscience comes from a different kingdom. I felt that. My conscience is from a different kingdom. My conscience is from a different kingdom. When we function like the world, we function below. Go to the next verse. I got to end this. Be not conformed. I'm not running tonight. Y'all ain't about to have me run. Be not conformed to. I love this because it's always present. It always means this. This ain't talking about 1826 or be. No, this world. Don't change to this thought pattern. If somebody talk about your mom, so you talk about my, that's this world. Because that's just what everybody thinks. You don't talk about my mom. Just don't touch my mom. You can talk all, just because the world, y'all understand what I'm saying? There's certain things you don't do. You don't talk about my mom. Okay. The Bible didn't say make sure your friends honor your mother and father. Okay. You do it. Who cares what they say about your parents? They ain't messing with their money. They ain't messing with their health. Y'all quiet for some reason. That's this world. Sticks and stones. Be not conformed to. Don't start reacting like this world. Don't start reacting like the songs teach us. You know, these secular songs, and I love them, but they teach you how to respond and think. They give you a thought pattern. They give you a realm of thought. Woo, I got to get off that subject quickly. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of my world. Your world is in your mind. I'm about to run for some reason. Your world exists in your mind. So don't conform to this world. Transform yours. Is that too deep? I hope that's not too deep. Be transformed by renewing your mind. Why would God compare or parallel the world and the mind? Your world exists in your mind. Your perception. It's personal. What you think. Your response is how things should be. What's right or wrong is in your world. So don't conform to how everybody else think, what they think. No. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That you may prove. Here we go. What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? Everybody say, my mind is my world. That's your world. Period. Your mind is your world. It's kind of like you have a how can I say this? Have you ever heard yourself talk like, ooh? Like I hear a playback of your own voice? You talk all day, every day. Some of us talk too much. But as soon as you hear your own voice, it's like, oh. But it's not weird to us because in our world, that's how you sound. But in your world, you sound totally different. I'm trying to break it down. They're different worlds. Some of y'all can think this building is cute. Some of y'all can think when we getting out of here, it's your world. So there's a lot of, never mind. No. So that's your one. Here we go. Let's go to the next one. This is the one I wanted to get to. For we wrestle not. Live where you at. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Tell your neighbor, stop fighting people. Why are you arguing with people? Why are you going back and forth with people? Why are you commenting back? Why are you angry with people? You don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It's kingdom versus kingdom. The devil don't like what's inside of you, but I don't like what's inside of him either. And greater is he. Hey, greater is he that's in me. Somebody scream, I got greater. How? I ain't about to fight with her. Because she rolled her eyes. That's her eyes. Next time they roll their eyes, just pray they don't get stuck. That's your job. Why are you going back and forth with people? We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. And it didn't say we don't fight. It said we don't wrestle. That insinuates an intimate struggle. It's like, it's just a thing. It's not like, I don't like him. I don't like him. It's not that. That's a fight. A wrestle is, I'm close to something. I almost want to hit it, but I don't. Sometimes we hugging. Sometimes we throwing blows. Sometimes I like doing this. Sometimes it gets on my nerves. Never mind. I got to get out of here. That's wrestling. You don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against, get me out of this church, principalities. Do you know what principalities are? Amongst whatever you believe, principalities are, study it, the origin of a thing. Let me break this down, y'all. Principalities are, it's the origin. It's how you first heard or experienced it. It's how it was first introduced to you. So for most of us, intimacy was introduced to us pervertedly. So now that you're grown, we got to wrestle that principality. Let me go to this side. Some of us got first introduced to friendships and it was betrayal. So now that's stuck in my mind. Friends mean betrayal. When you get older, you got to fight that principality. How something was first introduced to you. Some of us were molested. Some of us were raped. Okay. And the enemy's only advantage is that he's introduced to us first. I'm going to say it one more time. The devil's only advantage is that he's introduced to us first, because we're born in sin. We're born on his side. But once we see Jesus, I feel like running. Once we see double hush. Hey. How? Once we see Jesus, we abandon that side and go to the winning side. But it's hard to break out with your first love. It's hard to walk away from somebody who you lost your virginity to. Now I'm getting deep. I'm sorry the kids are in here, but y'all. It's hard to just walk away from the person you lost your virginity to. Why? Because that's the principality. That's my first experience. It has set a principality in my mind, my world. So I'm led to believe that that's how it is. I'm led to believe that that's how fathers are. Sometimes they're there, sometimes they're not. I'm led to believe that's how uncles are. Sometimes they touch you, sometimes they leave you alone. I'm led to believe that's how moms are. They cuss you out sometime and have boyfriends. Sometimes that's whatever your first experience is a principality now. It's set. You might have been 2 years old. I feel like ministering tonight. You might have been 2 years old and you locked it in your world that's how it is. So it's hard to forgive. It's hard to love. It's hard to trust. But tonight I declare by the power of the Holy Ghost that the devil is still a liar. I don't care how you were first introduced to it. It doesn't mean that's how it is. I gotta stop here, but I'm gonna finish this point. Man, you can literally be scarred for life. But ladies and gentlemen, I might be the only pastor that will ever say this. I would rather you be scarred for life than sore for life. We have to move from sores to scars. God don't want you to have sores because every time you touch it, it still hurt. But if you got a scar, you can say, yeah, that happened, but I made it. Yeah, that hurt me, but I made it. Jesus has scars, but he made it. Look at your scars and say, I made it. Through the storm and the rain, through betrayal, through jealousy, through backbiting, through lies, through sickness. It may have scarred me, but I made it. Your scar is your trophy. Your scar is proof that I won. Your scar is proof that you won. Your scars are your trophy. Liv, I got one question tonight, Liv. How many trophies do you have? Celebrate the scar. Celebrate that you made it. Celebrate that you overcame. Celebrate you're still standing. Still here. Abuse, but I'm here. Talked about, but I'm here. Confused, but I'm here. A lot of scars, but it don't hurt no more. I made it. Scream, I made it! Your neighbor can't see your scars. Your neighbor can't see all your scars. They don't know all you've been through, but they don't have to know. All I know is if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I would have been swallowed up. I would have lost my mind. But look at me. Look at you. Look at us. Still standing. Still praising. Still dancing. Yeah. If you made it, scream. Stand on Lee. All the winners stand up. Losers, you can sit down. All the losers sit down. All the winners stand up. How about Shatanya Boho? Still standing. Look at you. After all you've been through, after all the hurt and the pain, your hands are still raised. You are confusing the devil. Look at you right here. After all the sleepless nights, you still gotta praise. The devil mad at you. Look at you. After all the confusion, after all the abuse, you're still here. Hell is mad at you. Look at you. After all the jealousy, after all the envy, after all the haters, you're still here. Somebody give God glory. Because what the devil meant for evil, he shut the shut. What the devil meant for evil, he turned it. My mourning into dancing. My sorrow. Tonight, I want you to go home. And I want you, come on. You're going from sores to scars tonight. You're going from sores to scars. What used to hurt you will no longer hurt you. You'll still remember it, but you'll remember without pain. You'll remember without hurt. I feel God. I feel Jesus. Taking away the hurt. I feel Jesus. Taking away the pain. I feel Jesus. Taking away embarrassment. I feel Jesus. Taking away shame. I'm sorry for yelling. First time visitors, excuse me. But if I'm going to get excited about anything, I'm going to get excited about him turning my sores out into scars. Oh yeah, I remember that. Remember Corey? You don't talk to him no more? Yeah, I remember Corey. Nah, we don't talk no more. They waiting for you to cry because they brought up his name. They waiting for your countenance to change. They waiting for you to get bitter, but they don't realize you got better. I'm going to say that again. They waiting on you to be bitter, but they don't realize I got better. If you got better, scream. People will bring up old things to see if you hurt the same. Tonight, God is going to strengthen us. And we're going to look at things that used to hurt. The Lord told us this a while ago. The Lord turned our situation so drastically. I shared it with Liv. We're going home. The Lord turned our situation so drastically. And I'm not even talking about what the world knew about. I'm talking about our last, where we came from. We moved from Jersey to Houston, from Houston to here. We didn't have the greatest experience. But we have to remember what happened. Because Orlando is so good. Not just the city of Orlando, where God played, where we're at now in our world. Our world is so good now, we have to remember what hurt us. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Right now, what hurts us haunts us. But God is going to put you in a place where you're going to have to remember pain to appreciate joy. Did y'all hear what I just said? You're going to have to... Oh, yeah, I remember that. That hurt. Now you're going to appreciate the joy you have now. Why y'all get quiet on my praise? Right now, what hurts you haunts you. You can't go three steps without remembering what happened. Because it haunts us. But God is going to remove the haunting. In the name of Jesus, Holy Ghost, remove the haunting. Remove the haunting. The cloud that follows us, remove it now. It looks like I can feel the breaking of day. Oh, what joy! Woo! Break it forth in my soul. Weeping may endure only for one double Shaddaya. DB Shadio. Woo! One night. But joy cometh
keeps coming. Keeps coming. One situation brought tears. Every situation following will bring joy. One issue brought pain. Every situation after will bring joy. Remove the haunting. Remove the dark cloud. Remove the confusion. Remove the pain. In the name of Jesus, we still will remember the situation, but without pain. Without pain. Jesus still has holes in his hands to remember, I went through that. I went through that. You're going to have holes in your hands, Liv, but the holes don't hurt. The holes shouldn't hurt. The holes shouldn't hurt. Why are our nights lasting so long? We've been endures for one night. Take us from the haunting to the joy. You're going to have to make yourself remember what used to hurt you, just so you can thank God and give him glory all over again that you're out of it and it doesn't hurt anymore. He still has the piercing in his side, but it doesn't hurt, because we're going from sores to scars.
Thanks for listening to today's message. We pray you are blessed by God's word. If you would like to partner with us so that we can continue sharing the gospel around the world, please visit livechurchorlando.com.